This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Good evening. Welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. My name's Dean Beck, and he is
Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you?
Very well. Happy New Year to all you that. And all of our listeners.
Yes, to you too. Happy New Year. May 2016 be wonderful for you.
Big thank you to the Right Here, Right Now team.
Always good content and challenging conversation. Andrew.
Yes.
Tonight.
It is...
What's between your legs?
Well, it is... that is what we're covering.
Yes.
Not me particularly, but me generally.
No, generally. We're talking about the measure of a man.
Yes, literally.
Well.
Or is it? That's something we'll be discussing. There we go. Huh?
But basically, dick.
Yeah.
Penises. We'll be talking about the long and the short of it all. We'll be joined by a young man, Gavin Roach, who is doing a play for Midsummer 2016, starting in a weekend and a bit of time.
That's right.
And his play is not till beginning of February. However, it is all about dick.
It is. It is all about the measure of a man is the piece, and it's running early February.
Centre front for most gay men.
It is. Well, and that's...
In fact, for all gay men.
Funnily yes, enough. Literally. No. It is a huge part of our sense of self.
Now, Andrew.
Yes.
You received your big order.
So, for listeners Hide and Seek, just before Christmas, I let everyone know that I'd been along to my doctor and got my prescription for PrEP and made my order online to get it imported from overseas.
And
it arrived just after Christmas.
So were you happy with the time frame?
Yes, all good. Okay. You know, had it not been for Christmas, it would have been there a day earlier. But anyway.
Sure. Christmas comes whether you like it or not.
So I decided to wait until after New Year's to start taking it.
Okay.
Because, you know, I wasn't sure what the side effects might be.
Sure. You don't want to be shitty on New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
Yeah, get it.
So I waited until the 2nd.
Yeah.
And have started.
Any side effects other than the twitch?
The twitch, the big blue dots all over my body.
Yeah. And the bung eye.
The bung eye.
But other than that?
Yeah. No. The only side effect has been a bit of a lack of sleep.
Okay.
Feeling exhausted at the moment, but because it's been 3 or 4 nights of poor sleep, but apparently that settles.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well.
There we go.
There you go.
All started.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You are with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. We're joined by Gavin Roach, who is the man behind The Measure of a Man.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Gavin, you've been doing a fair bit of Midsummer work over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Confessions of a Grinder Addict was one of your shows?
Yes, it was my first one. That was the first show they ever brought here to Midsummer when I was based in Sydney.
And that went all the way to Edinburgh.
Yes, it did. Yes, you were actually my first ever radio interview.
Yeah,
you
didn't
tell me that at the time.
You popped my cherry.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It was a wonderful ride.
Has been a while.
It has been.
How did Edinburgh go for you?
Edinburgh was really, really great. It was really early in kind of my one-man show career. And so it was a great learning tool. It was really good to kind of see that some things didn't translate, some things were unexpectedly funny that weren't meant to be. I had to deal with a different stage where when I first performed it, I had a very lavish set where in Edinburgh, because you're dealing with so many shows, there's a tight turnaround. I had one chair, so that put me off a little bit.
And you've got to do your own marketing and leaflets and all that.
Oh, look, my marketing was easy. I just sat in Starbucks with their free Wi-Fi and ground. I just sat there and ground people.
Yes. Wow.
Right.
So you said that was your first one-person show.
Yes.
So you've been doing ensemble stuff for a while, I'm guessing, as well.
Yeah, I'd moved away from, at that point when I did Grindr Addict, I'd moved away from acting and was focusing on directing.
Yeah.
And then I'd always wanted to write something, so I thought, screw it, I'll write about what I know. And at that point, it was Grindr. Yeah.
And now it's Cock.
And now it's Cock.
So how is a one-person show different to having a group on stage with you?
It's you only have to rely on one person.
There's mm-hmm. less people, Andrew.
Yeah, well, yeah, apart, you know, but psychologically, I guess. Yeah.
You deal with a lot less egos. Or more, in my case. But it's...
There's no safety net either.
Yeah, there's no safety net. Sometimes I prefer it because I like... I definitely use the audience as the other person.
Uh-huh.
It's very rare for me that it's actually a one-man show because the audience is right there and I really feed off their reactions. If they start laughing or if they start crying, I start giggling because I'm just like, that's right, I made you feel. I felt something. I'm amazing. Which is always then hard. I did Grindr Addict last year in Brisbane for the first ever Melt Festival. And that really threw me because they were a really silent audience. I could see them and they were smiling, but they were giving me nothing. And I was about 15 minutes in. I was really close to just sort of leaning down, being like, can you laugh? Can you give me anything, something? I'm dying here. So they got a really fast show because I'm just like, fine, I'm getting off this stage. I'm going to wrap this up.
And having done several shows in a bar in Melbourne and other places, can you... Often artists say that you can tell pick the difference of the audiences.
Yeah.
Cities.
Oh,
can
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think the most favorite place that I've done or I did Grindr Addict was in Hobart. That was meant to be the last time, and then like John Farnham, I was just dragged back to the stage. And I remember delivering the last line, and in the show, I'm wearing a beanie. I take my beanie off. And there was this shock from up the back, this gasp. And this lady was like, oh, and he's sick too. Because I had a really tight shaved head and I almost wet myself. I almost just stood up and like, that's it. I can't top this. That was great. But yeah, different audiences behave very, very differently. Edinburgh and Brisbane were really subdued and quiet. Melbourne audiences are really quite fun. I love Melbourne audiences. Tasmanian audiences are great. They're so generous and giving. I did the show in New Zealand and they were a riot.
A burning orphanage is funny in Tasmania.
Oh,
but,
true.
How did you come to, I mean, your inspiration for writing shows? Grindr is an obvious one, particularly at the time, and you weren't the only one that was inspired by that, as it turns out.
I know.
The Measure of a Man. I mean, it's always a good subject matter.
Yes. So this is the fourth one-man show.
But this is the second in a trilogy.
Yes.
Just to confuse listeners even further.
I know, right? So Grindr Addict was going to be a trilogy, and its follow-up was Any Womb Will Do, where I wrote about sort of this desire to have a child and then talked myself out of it because I prefer going to Italy.
Sensible.
Yep.
Yes. Mm. And then when I decided to do the third one, which is I Can't Say the F Word, I completely changed the style in which I perform, the way that I engage with the audience. And then so it became a different beast in itself. And then this show, The Measure of a Man, has been kicking around in my head for about 5 years. And I couldn't really work out how to get it on the stage, how to tell the story. At one point, it was going to be three men, five men, and then I don't like working with others. So it became just me. And after F Word, I realized how I can get this show up and get it up on the stage.
He's getting it up on the stage, Andrew.
He's getting it up on the stage, yes.
Mm.
So stylistically, is it a comedy? Is it just... It's not stand-up.
No,
But I'm presuming it's like a story.
Yeah, the best way I can describe it, it's kind of a hybrid between theatre and spoken word.
Yep. Right.
So it's there's no character, it's just me. But it is very... The fourth wall is broken down, but it's not so much a conversation directly with the audience. It's just me telling a story and hoping that they like it.
So drawing from personal experience and your inner self...
Mm-hmm.
What has come out in writing of The Measure of a Man?
A A lot of
shut up, Andrew.
A lot of laughing at myself. A lot of thinking back, because it springboards obviously from when you've grown up with, you know, this one body, and then at some point other people see it, touch it, start engaging with it, and then your opinion about your own body starts to change because they have an opinion about it, and
or you have a perception of their opinion
exactly
about it.
Yeah. So then that's sort of steamrolls, and there's no guidebook for starting to engage sexually with people, and you know, my sexuality was engaging with men, and so it was you're getting around all of the firsts of going, well, what do I do with that? I know what to do with mine. Do I treat it the same? Do I? It looks differently. Do I just poke it there? Okay, no, you don't like that. Yeah. All right. And all of the trial and error. So that's really what springboarded out, was me giggling about the first times and then the woeful times and then the times when I kind of just, you know, thought better of myself and thought I probably shouldn't have put myself in that situation because it was a right laugh for the other person.
And they're all different.
They're all different.
Every one of them is different.
Yep, very different. But, yeah, Measure of a Man, definitely. It starts off dealing with cock and then starts to deal with the whole spectrum of sex, basically, and talking about things that we often don't talk about because we have a perceived embarrassment around it. So yeah, so the audience can expect a lot of fun, a lot of highs and lows, a delightful roller coaster,
a few ups and downs along
few
the way,
ups and downs, just bouncing around.
Now, one of the comments you've got in your media release perplexed me a little.
Okay. Oh, this will be good.
Ooh, fun.
If you're a gay man that can't have sex, what worth do you have? So if you're a gay man that can't have sex, now that's the bit that struck out at me. What are you meaning?
There was a lot of debate that I had with a lot of people around that line that I showed. What I mean by can't have sex is more sort of sexually engaged. This is pretty much from my personal experience. I kind of worked out the hard way that I'm not really somebody that, as strange as it is with a show like Grindr Addict, you find yourself talking it up, and then when push comes to shove, you're like, oh no, I can't really follow through, and I get nervous and anxious, and
you're that guy.
Yes. I don't mean to be. I don't mean to have all of this. I'm very good at talking and flirting
part.
And
okay, yes.
And you build it all up, and then people will discover through the show that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but the anxiety that comes with it sometimes eats in, and then
I always wonder whether it's that or whether the fun for them is actually the chase and not the
prize.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be that. Sometimes it can be the fantasy. That not so much personally for me. I like the follow through.
Right.
But yeah, because I think you get to play with this idea of doing all of these things and, you know, typing it out, all of the things you'd like to do, but you've never really had the avenues to explore.
So what do you think, having you know, process of developing the show, as you said, over 5 years, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you put down to being some of those anxieties?
A lot of perceptions, again, of what people will have of your body. For me, it's not really being able to sometimes shut down. My mind just constantly goes and about stupid things like, I don't like where the pillow's positioned right now. Oh, the sheet's fallen off and now my back's cold. Oh, his elbow's digging into my side. Isn't this annoying? No, don't lick my ear. It just feels wet. Rather than
I had an ex once who said, we can't invite him over. Look at the decor.
That's wonderful. And yeah, I think it's
but we over
it's things like that.
We overanalyze things like
that. Totally. And I think also, I know for me, sometimes it comes down to just wanting to feel, I guess, comfortable in the room. And that's very hard to do when you've kind of ground a guy, you've built up the situation, and then they're there, and the expectation is that both of you are just going to be up and ready to go. And it's quite difficult when you open the door and you're kind of like, oh, you looked differently, yes. Or oh, there's no attraction,
you're ready to go and they want to warm up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just like bang.
Yeah. And I'm somebody that does like a good old warm up, and I mean it's even the same. It's not even just, you know, around the apps as well. If you meet somebody out, sometimes you get home and you're just not in sync. Exactly as you said, they do it differently, and it's difficult to kind of stop the situation and go, can we just chat for a little while, get to know each other? I got a little chamomile tea, then we'll start exploring each other, and then bang, good to go.
Well, if you think you've got problems, in September of 2015, Roberto Cabrera set the record for having the world's longest penis. Now, a lot of you, I know, will be saying, oh, wow, I want to be him. The 52-year-old Mexican measured in at a whopping 18.9 inches. That's 48.2 centimetres, nearly half a metre, with his circumference of his tip being 10 inches, that's 25 centimetres around. It was certified by the World Record Academy, and he wanted a Guinness Book of World Records listing, but apparently the Guinness Book of World Records doesn't have such a listing for penis size. His massive member ruined his life, preventing him from having any relationships and even getting a job. I cannot do anything, I cannot work, and I'm disabled. I want authorities to declare me as a disabled person and give me support, he said. Women were too frightened to have sex with him, and he had never had a long-term girlfriend, let alone a wife. So, there you go. It's not all a bed of roses for those who have one of these.
Joy 94.9.
Your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self on Joy 94.9. This is Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice, myself and Dean Beck.
Now, Gavin Roach is with us. He is the man behind the play, The Measure of a Man. It's all about Dick. It is on from the 1st to the 6th of February at Gasworks Arts Park. It is part of Midsummer 2016. Gavin, you did some research,
yes.
As I did, clearly, for this segment, but you did for your play.
Yes, I did. It was about a year ago actually a little bit more, I put together a survey where people could fill it out, obviously anonymously.
How big's your dick?
Kind of, yeah. Looking at not so much your actual size, but more what people thought of it. Did you think it was above average? Did you think it was average, below average, things like that? And then also encapsulating, you know, body, if there was something about your body that you could change.
Now, I've read some interesting information around this regarding penis size and gay men. And it's said that gay men have larger penises on average than heterosexual men.
Wow.
Now, others have said that gay men just report that they have larger penises.
I always find it fascinating that we tend to use inches when centimetres is bigger, and then like
and more universal.
Well, exactly,
worldwide.
Everybody uses it.
But also,
I mean, most people wouldn't know what an inch is.
Yeah.
Exactly,
I've
and
got
that's the point, I think.
Right,
in that potentially you don't necessarily know how much 6 inches is. Whereas you may,
but you know how big 9 inches is.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
No, but
I know how it feels.
But
anyway.
You're probably more used to knowing what 15 centimeters is.
Yeah. Yeah, we've grown up with the ruler.
Yeah,
and if somebody's just like, oh, 10 centimetres. Like,
yeah.
Mm. 12 inches is 30 centimetres.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yes. Roughly. Yeah. Roundabout. But yeah, the research was quite intriguing.
So what did people say?
A lot of people, I remember the percentages, but don't quote me on them. I think it was something around 25, their favourite body part was their penis. Others it was
that doesn't surprise
no,
me.
No, not at all. Others it was their butt. Most thought that they were above average.
Now, was that their favourite body part that of on the, them?
On them.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. On them.
Okay.
It was all about them.
Not what they're attracted to.
No.
Right.
No. And then if they could change one thing, the bulk of them was their penis size.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And the two...
Any size smaller?
No. It was a really simple one. That
small
just
sample
went,
size.
Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't
going to... I'm full of it.
But the two that intrigued me was, I asked the question, do you have a negative view on your body? That was one. And then do you have a negative view of your penis? And it was down to 50% said yes for both.
Wow.
That they
wow.
had a negative view of their body and of their penis.
And we hear that a fair bit in our community.
Yeah.
Which means we've got a lot of hang-ups about our dick.
Which is...
But, and body generally.
Yeah, yeah. Which is one thing that led me to writing this show, and mainly because we don't... That's the realm of sex we don't talk about. I've been in so many rooms where, you know, sex is being bandied around. It's being, you know, social currency. Everyone's playfully one-upping each other.
Quite happy to talk about other people's.
Yeah, but also quite reluctant to kind of go, I'm having a few issues when it comes to sex, or I'm feeling like this about my penis, or I'm feeling like this when I, you know, try to have sex. Is it the people that I'm engaging with? Is it the way that I'm trying to get it? I remember chatting to this friend of mine in Sydney, and he sort of just went really wide-eyed. I was being very open and honest, talking about stuff that was going on with me. And he kind of stopped me and just went, that happens to me, and I thought I was the only one.
Mm.
And it kind of surprised me that I myself wasn't talking to people about it. And when I moved here, I remember talking about a few issues I had with a friend of mine who just happened to be a doctor. And he just sort of said to me, why didn't you see a doctor about this before? And I just said that I was far too embarrassed. I didn't know where to begin. There was a real sense of shame. And then after talking with a doctor, I kind of, you know, had this musical skip down the road moment of like, excuse me, everyone, I'm very confident now. I'm going to do a skip ball change. And it was really, really interesting how much my attitude changed and how much a lot of those hang-ups were my own. And they were just simple changes to make by just talking about it.
And they weren't really issues anyway.
No, not at all. And they were
just perceptions.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And it's definitely stuff that gets explored through the show.
And here's the thing. I mean, so much of our hang-ups are about perception and not reality.
Yeah.
Not what actually is.
Mm.
We invent things to have hang-ups about.
Yep.
Not the least of which is our bodies and our penises.
Oh, completely.
All of which, as we've already stated, are all different. Every one of them.
And we've talked about this. I mean, we've had the guys from Noon Manfest on a couple of times over the years. And
they don't seem to care.
Well, no, but they're also...
Although there was that backpacker.
The point being that nudity, I guess, between peers means that a lot of those hang-ups might be dissipated and perceptions.
Yeah. Yep.
The leveller.
It's a leveller, exactly. Yeah.
Mm.
Did people talk about that at all in any of the research, or you didn't really explore that, I guess?
A little bit. There was sort of a comment section that they could write in if they chose to about their relationship with their penis.
Yep.
And a lot of people said that one guy went into great detail about how the journey... his journey with it coming from adolescence into sort of adulthood was that he really, really slowly developed a really good relationship of just being, I love the way that he phrased it. It was, I think, I was kind to my penis. I took the time to be kind.
Instead of beating the shit out of it? Or?
Well, it was really intriguing. It was like I was kind to it, which I took away to mean that it didn't put so much pressure on it that it had to perform.
Right.
Where other people... There was a disappointment around it.
That it has to be rock hard every single time.
Exactly. And it had
on command.
Yep, and it had to be exactly what people wanted at that exact moment. And it had to deliver.
Show me that, man.
Yeah.
Well, we're all not the only ones that have issues about our penis. Now, you know Macklemore?
He wrote
that lovely song about getting
love and all that stuff. Yes.
He's written a song about the penis.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
You're on Joy 94.9. Hide and Seek. Andrew the Apprentice here along with Dean Beck, and we're chatting with Gavin Roach about The Measure of a Man happening in February as part of Midsummer.
It's actually more than all about dick.
It is.
Actually.
Yeah, very deep. It's a lot more deeper than...
I know. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was just, you know, how big's your dick?
Yeah, but no.
That would be a very short show.
It would be.
Well, no reflection on Gavin. No, I didn't mean it like that, Gavin.
Oh, no, there was going to be audience participation in a rule.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, I'm there. Bums on seats.
All right. Now, Gavin, you're a sadicus.
Oh, is it?
My.
I think you're inventing
stuff. I'll stop that one. Yeah. Anyway, glutton for punishment. We'll go with that.
Yes, I am.
In that you've got another show happening during midsummer.
I do indeed.
Is that where you were going with
it? Yeah.
Yes, also at Gasworks as well. 2 weeks before my own, so from the 20th to the 30th, is Beyond Priscilla, the play.
Which is, of course, the adaptation of Daniel Whithouse's book.
Yes, yep. About a year and a half ago, Daniel approached me with the idea of turning the book into a play. And I kind of giggled, and I'm just like, that's silly. And then year and a half later, next thing, I've done an adaptation and we're putting it on.
So did he just give you the text and you go delete, 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 we'll have that, and job's done? Yeah. Is it easy as that?
Pretty much.
Oh, cool.
It's totally just cut and paste. Yeah, it was a PDF and away I went.
Nice.
No, it was so it's a cast of four, and they play everyone from Daniel to the, I think we're up to almost around 80 people in the show. So it's all a series of monologues that come together.
Now, we'll have to get you, because I don't know if you remember this, Dean, but I think we sort of did a bit of that for Daniel.
Oh, yes.
Some time ago, a couple of years ago, we did little bits of his book.
I remember that, yes.
Had some volunteers around here.
Oh, wonderful.
Do a little bit of a read. And, yeah. It
wasn't quite an audio book, and it certainly wasn't a radio play.
But it was only
a
couple of snippets. But a couple of snippets.
But clearly you've ripped it off.
Yeah, it's great. Hope you get a credit.
Thank you for that.
So that's happening also at Gasworks, 20th to the 23rd, then 27th to the 30th.
Yeah, so it goes for 2 weeks, Wednesday to Saturday.
Yep.
So,
and it's heavily in rehearsal, I believe.
It is. We're ready to go. We're opening in 2 weeks, and the cast is great. We've got four amazing, amazing actors, and it's being directed by my best friend, Lauren Hopley, and she is a wonderfully talented taskmaster, so they all fear her.
So how does that work? Because it's such a fresh... Here's where I'm going with this. You've got Daniel, who wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
You, who've written the script.
Yep.
Both of which are all about words.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be something going on there. Any heads clashing on that front? And then you have imported another director to deliver two people's work.
Yep.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, it's been...
With 80 characters and four people doing it.
It's been... My utterly God. Smooth sailing. We've never fought ever. No, Daniel's been very, very lovely in giving me quite a lot of creative license in doing the adaptation. We've only really very casually butted heads a number of times, which a few emails went back and forth looking at. Daniel would be like, oh, here's my notes. And I'm like, oh, that line's popped back in. I'm going to delete that, sending it back. Here's the final script, sends back. Oh, that line's back in. Oh, sends it back. And then the phone call of, here's why this line is staying. But no, it's been really lovely working with Daniel and then having Lauren come in and take the script and just explode it in ways that I never could. Never could have imagined how it could have been interpreted on stage. And she's got an amazing eye for character and for dialogue and a beautiful way of telling a story. And some of these stories are heartbreakingly tragic and wonderful and really showcases, I think, the community that we have in Australia.
Knowing what I know about the book, you would have to be super sensitive around depicting... from an actor's point of view, age.
Yes.
Gender.
Yes.
Non-gender.
Yep.
Sexuality, yep. Non-sexuality. They're all finer points that are very defined in that book.
Yes.
That you can't stuff up.
It That and that was something that we spent a lot of time discussing, and a lot of time talking with ourselves as the creative team, the three of us, and then the actors as well. And the actors are beautiful in their portrayal. No one is a caricature. No one is made fun of. Yeah. No one is...
Because that's the other side of it. You end up into stereotypes.
Exactly, exactly. And, and that was something that was really important, that from day one, none of the actors brought that to the table. They
sounds like a walk in the park.
It really. I wouldn't go that far, but the actors have become very respectful of the characters and have taken on this very protective ownership.
And of course, the opposite is the case with The Measure of a Man, where it's all about you, and if you stuff it up, it's your own fault.
Oh, exactly. but I never stuff it up because, thankfully, the audience never has the script in hand.
And, of course, I'm assuming you've all rehearsed it down to the finest detail so that...
Totally.
Because so you can commit to doing Beyond Priscilla.
And having written it, you know the words.
Yeah, exactly. I've written every word. It's not like I'm rewriting tonight or anything like that.
Too easy.
It's simple.
So that opens, as we said, on the 1st of February.
Have you got props?
In Measure of a Man?
Yeah, because I could help with that.
I bet you could. No, it's just purely a chair and costume, or lack thereof. I pretty much start in my underwear and then go backwards. Because I have performed naked on stage before. Mm. When I was in uni, we did a...
Surely that's got to break through a few barriers for you.
It was just cold. it was June in Wagga Wagga, we were doing
minus two
spring awakening, and I had to
not much awakening.
No, not at all. And yeah, I had a 20-minute monologue where I was naked on stage. That was fun.
Oh, glad it was you. How many people in the audience?
It's
just
Wagga.
Mum and Dad.
Not many. No, my mum and dad did come and see it. And it was really, like, my mum and my dad, my brother and my sister-in-law. And I just remember looking out at the audience. My mother was intensely reading a 2-page program.
And didn't take her eyes off it.
Nope. My dad was looking at the ceiling, and he's worked in construction. And you could just see on his face, it's like, that's not OH&S. That's gonna come out. My sister-in-law had her head in her hands laughing because she used to be my Sunday school teacher when I was 14. And my brother was looking right at me with this snide look on his face like, everyone can see your wang. You are naked on stage.
Oh, dear.
And it was just, I completely shut down and I just said the words and I'm like, and I'm out. I've got to get off stage.
Wow. Yep. The next night was a better performance.
Yeah, much better. Much, much better.
So more of that in Measure of Man.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, to get bums on seats, there is full frontal nudity, is there?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. We might just add that in.
That's amazing.
It's suddenly got a full house.
Yes. Exactly.
You always say yes anyway.
Oh, yeah. Always say yes. And then if it doesn't happen, it's just like,
It is all about dick.
Yeah. It is.
Well, as long as I say may contain, it doesn't have to.
Exactly.
I haven't committed.
There's a disclaimer.
Exactly.
Well, Gavin Roche stars in, presents, written, directed and acting in the 2016 Midsummer Extravaganza. It's titled The Measure of a Man. Yes, it is all about Dick. It's on the 1st to the 6th of February at Gasworks. I can never say that. Arts Park, which is in Albert Park. For bookings, head to midsummer.org.au.
Yep, Midsummer and Gasworks.
Either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the chance, go along and see Beyond Priscilla as well.
Oh, if you have to.
Gavin Roche, thank you very much for joining us on Hide and Seek.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9.
Dean, it's time to get out of here. Coming up next is JB with Strip Down.
Yes, and a big thank you to Gavin Roche, who was our guest today on Hide and Seek, The Measure of the Man. Go and see his show. It's all about Dick.
And also a big thank you to David, who does all our podcasts that are available at joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Now, Andrew, I had a chance to catch up on a few of them during the break.
Right.
And I've got to say, David does a bloody good job.
That is correct. It's fantastic. Thank you, David.
So, thank you, David. Yes, up next, Strip Down, get it off, have fun. Thank you to Andrew the Apprentice for joining me on Hide and Seek. I'm Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Until next time.
Bye.
Well, take care. Bye-bye.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.